Let us go back to Hebrew chapter 4, where we left off last time. We're going to pick up, and I'm going to go over, because it's been a couple of weeks, what we did again briefly as we move forward. And I want to establish the principle again that here in Hebrews chapter 4, that God was saying something through his word and through his to the people who took his notes and his prophets that struck me in a way that I never saw it before. And that's what I love about the Word of God, because the Word of God doesn't change. What changes is your maturity and your ability to absorb the level of truth that He's brought you to. This is close to what I'm about to say. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. People say, no, because God changed it. No, your ability to receive, your ability to hear, your ability to digest what he's speaking to you is what's matured and grown up. You've become more mature in your ability to receive the word, according to your faith be it unto you. So you can read a scripture over and over and over again, and then one day you pick it up and you read it, and it's like, wow. And that's not weird. The disciples even did it when they would say, you know, and he said not a word which brought to pass the scripture, and in their mind is reflecting back. At the time it was happening, they didn't realize, wow, he's fulfilling every word of prophecy that's ever been spoken. But as they reflected back and they were writing the books, the Holy Spirit was bringing to their remembrance moments and times and things that Jesus did and said while he was with them, that was like, wow, this is in the canon of scripture. It said this would happen. It said he would be persecuted. It said he would be crucified. It said this. Like, we were right there watching it, observing it, and didn't see it until we got to the place of spiritual maturity that that revelation can now shine and make the sense that it needs to make for us. Who understands where I'm going right here? So there is parts of the word that you studied and read. Right now, and I'm talking softly and slowly, but I want you to hear what I'm saying. That may be sitting dormant in your spirit, but the seed has been planted. See, there's words that you read, and the revelation of what God is saying to you hasn't become alive yet. Why? Because it's a seed. And over time, the seed is watered. And I think the problem with the church and church members and believers, they're always looking for these aha moments, right? Like, I was in the church and the preacher stood up there and he said, blah, blah, blah. And I jumped up and I ran around the room and I did the holy dance. That don't mean anything. That just means you got excited. It becomes real. Stay with me. Stay with me. When it finally becomes rhema in your spirit, not an emotional moment. That's why I've been teaching. I don't speak now until I make sure all my emotion is out of it. I sit back and wait until when I feel so good about it, or I feel so angry about it, or I feel so frustrated. Let me be still till everything is quiet so I can make sure that the rhema or the truth that God has given me can be clearly, clearly seen. So dancing around the room, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. It's like, yeah, that's a moment. But right now, it's a seed. It's not life for a lot of people yet, because they don't water it, or they don't allow that seed to be watered, because they think as soon as they heard it was supposed to be instant, like you got a microwave type faith, that as soon as you heard it, just hit the 30-second button and then it's cooked and it's done, and now you got that revelation. No, you don't. It's a seed. It's planted in your spirit, and it takes time to germinate and grow up. And if you let it grow and you feed it and you let allow it to be nurtured, then eventually it comes up and it becomes your personality, not a moment or experience or an excitement or something that you had right then. See, so Jesus, Lord, I know what you, give me the right words. So we run through our walk waiting for God to do this pow thing. All of us, let's keep it real. I prayed and I got on my knees and I sought the Lord, and the next day he fixed it. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You're so good. And God's like, okay, but I was good even when you didn't see it happening, because I put the seed in you to grow into something mature, that you don't just see it because you were in this jammed moment, but that whenever a moment occurs, you are so mature that you can't see it any other way, because this is how maturity reacts, right? You know, seeing a apple on your tree when it first grows is one, but as time goes on and you look up and you see a bushel up there in the tree, you don't even get excited anymore because you know, but that's what it does. It's my apple tree. It's been in my yard for 15 years, and every year we get about 10 baskets of apples out of it. Stay with me right here, because when you see that first apple, you jump around and do a holy dance and want to take pictures of it and post it online and everything. But after the years go by, you get comfortable, grateful, but comfortable with the fact that this is what the tree produces. Come on and walk with me a little bit here. Be a little more adult today and step deep into what I'm saying right now. There should be a point in our walk that we are no longer aha and excited about a word or a move of God because we've seen this so consistently and we know that He provides so generously that we go, oh, yeah, I'm grateful for this tree, but this is what it does. It produces fruit and it feeds us. Somebody can say amen on that right there, right? Because our God is not staggered, we get staggered. So when he gives us a revelation and a seed, that seed may not immediately make you jump and dance, but if we get mature enough, stay with me, if we get mature enough, we get excited that the seed's in the ground. We get excited that the revelation has been planted in our spirit. We get excited that we know that my God provides, supplies my needs according to his riches and glory. It's not just something I needed to hear that today. No, I hear it because it lives in me. Maybe someone or two of you are going to grab this. I hope all of you do. Like, I want to get to the place that I don't need somebody to say that to make me feel good. I can reach down inside myself and say, even though my flesh might not be in agreement right now, I do know my God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. So I know he was wounded for my transgression. I can rest in what's in me that's a full-grown tree that's been sitting in the backyard of my spirit for the past 15 years, consistently giving fruit. Can I get a little reaction, a little amen, a little something? Because what I'm saying right now is powerful stuff. I know it is. And so I'm finding the places in my life right now that are anchored. And I'm finding the places that are seeds that need to be tended to better. I found oases in myself where no matter what's happening, I can step back and go, I know how this works out. But then I'm finding the other places where I'm saying, God, that I need to treat that. It needs a little more miracle grow. I need to water this a little more. I need to put some plant food on this bad boy because this is not matured. I'm looking at it. It still ain't growing yet. And he said, because you haven't tended to it. Come on. Can you all right here, listening at the sound of my voice, look at the places in your life where you know you trust without concern, and then look on the other sides and go, yeah, I need to feed this right here a little bit more. This here has been malnutrition. It's been starved. Let me see your hand. If you could say, yeah, I know, I know, I know. Okay, so then good. Let's do this then. Let's stop bragging about the place that we're good at, and let's stop giving a little more attention to the place that we've neglected. Now, when I go back into this word, which we're going to do right now, with that revelation, I want you to understand how I'm reading it this week. Has a different spin, but the same message that I did 2 weeks ago. Okay. And I want you to see, and I want you to get the rhema and the revelation for the season that you're in. Is it seed? Is it seedling? Is it sprouted? Is it fruit bearing yet? Does it still need to be taken care of more until it becomes full grown? Because what I don't want to do, and I don't want you to do, is keep looking for excitements and sparks of truth in messages that get you excited for the moment, but you don't take that seed and let it get deep enough into you that it speaks for itself. And that's the revelation God's been giving to me about the vision speaks for itself and will not lie. And it's like God was like, if you just let it sit inside of you, it'll take over and you'll come on autopilot when it comes to certain things. And maybe there's areas of your life that you know you're there. But it gets to a place where you're on autopilot. So when you hear me say, I never pray for money, but God said to me, that's great. And where you are, that's fine. But to the level that I'm calling you to, you're going to need to do a little more praying and get your faith a little stronger in this area because I'm trying to take you to another level and you're not there yet. It's the next level. Now, I'm still not going to be falling on my face crying, oh God, I hope you make it happen. No, but it's still like, okay, but you need me to pay attention on a different level. And you need me to allow my spirit to mature. Stay with me, stay with me, stay with me, stay with me on a different level. Somebody say, new level, new blessing. You know, the church folk would say, new level, new devil. No, but it's new level, new blessing. And new level, new blessing means more, blessing is not, again, I ain't talking about the manifestation of the thing in your life when I'm talking about blessing. When I'm talking about blessing, I'm talking about the manifestation of the thing in your spirit. See, once it's manifested in your spirit, it's going to manifest in your life. We keep looking for it to manifest it in our life before we can accept it in our spirit and say hallelujah and do a little stupid dance. But the truth of the matter is, the manifestation gets in your spirit, and then you do that dance on the inside. And then when it happens on the outside, everybody else dance around like, oh, God moved for you. And like, doesn't he always? I love when people say to me, man, I just love the way you walk with God. I love the way you believe God. And I'm like, you know what I say? I just say, well, you know, I still got a lot more to go. Now I don't now. I'm like, yes, he does. He does. He always does. He move. And I always expect him to. And he does. And I'm still growing. But yes, indeed, I am not talking down or belittling the fact that my God moves in my life in powerful, powerful ways. I expect it. I see it. I want to see more of it. And I'm doing what I need to do. So while you're rejoicing over the last thing you saw God do for me, I want to be 10 steps ahead for what he's preparing me for. I hope you're listening to me today because I'm talking real man talk right now. All right. You're ready to get in this word again. This was a powerful word, and I felt like one of the most powerful revelations that God had given me in a long time. And so that's why God said, revisit. And so I want to revisit this, and I want you to listen to what I'm saying. Hebrews chapter 4, I'm starting at verse 1. It says, therefore, while the promise of entering into his rest still holds, and it's offered today, let us be afraid. And I'm going to stop there just because Dr. Wise is catching this for the second time. I mean, you know, she didn't catch the beginning of this, so I want to make sure she's up to date so we're all in the same place in the class. So I want you to pay attention to this, my good doctor friend. While the promises of entering to the rest, into his rest, God's rest still holds and is offered today, let us be afraid to distrust it. And the anchor of the message was what? Let us be afraid to distrust it. What? The promises still exist. So if I'm gonna be afraid, I don't want to be afraid that God may not answer. I don't want to be afraid that it's not happening for me in time. I don't want to be afraid that this bill ain't paid and that bill ain't paid. He said, let us be the promise of entering into his rest. And okay. Let me start like this. Let me go right here. Ready? While the promise of entering into his rest still exists today and is offered today, what is the promise of entering into his rest? Let's make sure we break this down before I move on, because this is huge. This is big. This is the truth that makes you free right here. While the promise, come on, say it with me. While the promise of entering into his rest still is offered and exists today. Let's not go past that so fast. He's saying the promise of entering into his rest. Are there some areas of your life that you need to enter into his rest? This is all about that seed I was talking about earlier. Come on now. Are there areas in your life that you know, God, I ain't really resting in you right there? Are there areas in your life that you know, God, I could spend a little more time with you until I'm at peace? That's what I meant when I was saying earlier, when it gets in your spirit and it becomes real, because then you come to a place of resting. So that promise of entering into his rest still exists today. Come on, say that in your spirit. Walk with that a minute. The promise of entering to a place that you're just comfortable and you trust. Or use a burden, heavy laden. Come to me, I will give you rest. Didn't Jesus say that? He said, there's a place. Why you take thought for your life? What you're going to eat? What you're going to drink? What you're going to wear? He said, come into my rest. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and those things will be added. All of those statements and all those conversations, listen to me, is about entering into his rest. Who am I going to be with? Who am I going to spend the rest of my life with? Am I going to be alone? Do I want to be alone? All of that, he said, these are things that if you enter into my rest, those things don't consume you. Cast your cares upon me because I care for you. If you think about all those statements, every one of them are requiring you to rest. Why are you taking thought for your life? Why are you even worried about it? Rest. So that means this whole walk I'm coming to learn is about me resting and trusting in him. Would you bear witness to that? Would you agree with me with that? Is that a fair enough statement? I'm not reaching right there, right? I am saying what the word is saying, right? Okay. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm just trying to back up all of this with scripture. So the key to our success in the Lord is about rest. It is foolish to rise up early and go to bed late and eat the bread of anxious toil, for God blesses his beloved even while they sleep. You can't, I don't even have to twist that. Sleep is rest. So the key function of this season and time that I'm learning and teaching and sharing is rest. Entering into his rest. Somebody say, I want to enter into his rest. This is my core drive right now. My destiny of destinies is God. Not that I'm successful with this and that this business blows up and that this company becomes big and I'm wealthy and successful over here. I know too many wealthy, successful people that ain't resting right now. They have no peace. Okay. So are they really successful? Gentleman said to me at the table last night, I was talking about just, you know, sharing my walk with God and the peace that I'm in and the happiness that I've come to in this place in my life. And the gentleman said to me, you are very rich. You are truly rich. I said, yeah, amen. Thank you. He said, you know why I'm saying it? And I said, go ahead and explain. But I already knew what he was saying. He said, you got happiness, you got peace, you got family, you got this. And I said, I got God. And all of that, family, money, friends, homes, car, no God. Watching this young man go back and forth to court with his whole thing, sitting in a little cell, whole life falling apart in front of him. He had all of that stuff, but all these weird, freaky, crazy things were being done because something is missing. There's a lack of peace. There's a lack of joy. There's a lack of God. There's a lack of something that you're trying to fill with everything from drugs to sex to everything you could to wow, this and that, all that. How many yachts can you buy before you realize it's just a boat? How many cars can you drive before you realize it's just a vehicle? It's the peace that passes all understanding, and that's about rest, and that is acquired. The currency, well, I'm a drop a jewel right now. The currency to that kind of wealth and that kind of peace is rest. That's how you pay for it. You pay for it in rest. You pay for it in trust. You pay for it in belief in God. Everything that you think you want and you believe that you need to have in life to make you happy, the currency for that is rest. The currency for that is peace. There's no other way into it. You can't buy God even with frantic prayer. I see people who have prayer time and they don't even know how to be quiet. Sometimes I want to reach over and slap and say, will you just shut up for a minute and to let God talk? You've been talking since you got in the circle. You ain't shut up yet. Oh, Lord, and I thank you, God, and I believe you, God, and I know you're going to be, yes, Jesus. I'm like, my God, like, can you hear anything he's saying? You don't shut up. Like, be quiet long enough for God to speak to you. Because the currency of his real blessing is in rest. You caught that? Ooh, I got a little emotional there. That right there. That truth. I'm learning. I'm learning that that's where it comes from. And so many things have come at me in the past couple of days that I was feeling like, okay, I'm about to snap. I'm about to lose it. I'm about to snap. It was all Thursday. It's like everything hit me at one time. And I felt myself ready to tell somebody off. Matter of fact, the bank called about the building in New York, told me I was behind on my payment, and I have it on auto pay. And they did something where they messed it up. They've been doing it almost every other month, and they took it off. And I got so upset with this guy that he said, "Well, you can make the payment now, and we'll give you a grace period." And I just literally just, I want to say, "You dumb beepity beep beep beep, you're the ones who messing this up. What are you talking about? You're gonna give me a courtesy?" But you know, I felt it, and I just reached over and hit that little red button, boop, and just hung up on him. "I'll pay it tomorrow. I'm not gonna talk to him today. He's trying to take me to a place that's not resting my spirit, and I don't want to go there." So there's a lot of things I can't say, but what difference would it make? I'm just, that's the red button is there for a minute. Just a bop, and just hung right up on his behind. He called back, I didn't pick up the phone. But I sat down until I was still. And then the next day, I called. I want to call, and I want to fuss my lawyer out because of this whole water bill situation. And it's like 3,000 and change, almost $4,000 in a bill because Jeff's just been letting the water run all day so he can try to mess me up. And called the people because the notice came. "Well, final ruling, we don't care, you got to pay the bill." And I'm just upset. I'm upset with the lawyer, I'm upset with the water people, I'm upset with the bank calling, the whole. So I need you to understand, this is not a couple of $100s. This is, you know, almost $15,000 worth of bills or hit me all at one time in one day. And I just said, "Be still, rest, enter into his rest. What I need to do." I didn't go into, "Oh, shalala." No, I just sat still and stayed quiet and started identifying those voices that were yelling at me. "Are you listening to me?" And just said to each voice one at a time, without raising my voice, without saying, "In the name of Jesus." I just said, "You be quiet, you be quiet, and you be quiet. I heard what you have to say." Talking to myself. I ain't even talking about the enemy and the devil, blah, 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 blah. You give the devil too much credit for too much. Talking to myself. "We're not listening to that. We're not responding like that. We're not doing that. And we're not being upset like that." I hope I'm speaking to your heart right now. I had to tell myself to shut up. I had to tell myself to be quiet. I had to speak to myself and encourage myself with psalms and hymns. See, that's what the Bible tells us to do. I had to get quiet. I had to stop and go, "No, I'm not responding to this until I have peace." Somebody say, "I'm not responding to negativity until I have peace." And so I sat still for that whole day. And every time the voice, "You should have said that." Nope. Nope. Not doing that. Next day I got up. I had a piece of my spirit. I called the people. "Okay, again, you guys messed this up. I got a whole different person on the phone. Can you please look into this and take care of it?" Solved. No problem. Called the water people. They said, "Listen, you got the court case going on. But until now, just pay something. Just, I don't care if it's a couple $100s." I said, "Okay, can I just do $1,000?" "Yeah, don't worry about it. Just do the $1,000. Just keep it going." "All right, we're not going to turn your water off. Thank you." Boom. Called the lawyer. "What's going on with this?" And he said, No, it's not what you think. I'm handling it. This is in this place. This is in this place. This is going to take, you're going to got to wait like another maybe 30 days, the final days, but just be patient." He said, "You notice I haven't been charging you or anything?" I said, "Yeah, I was concerned about that. You haven't given me a bill." He said, "I'm not trying to pile up on you. I understand that you want." When since when you hear the lawyer say that? "I'm not going to charge you. I'm trying to, got any more things to pile up on you." I ain't never seen a lawyer say that, but this lawyer did. He said, "No, it's not much as you think it is, and I just didn't want to put a lot on you at one time. I just need you to be patient. I got this." I said, and I mean, and literally, he could be snippy with me. But this time I came at him a little aggressive, and he could see what I was, he understood by the Spirit of God what I was going through. And he came back and said, "Calm down. I got it. I got you. I got it. You just wait. It's good. It's going to be okay." And I was like, I know that was God. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to him. I knew that was God. I knew that was God. I never seen him come off like that. And I said, "See, once I got back and let God get me to the place of rest, listen close to me, then all the situations had to line up with my rest." You caught that, Lens? What I bring to the situation is what I get from the situation. And if I came to it with that tension and I'm gonna tell them off of who you think you, then I invite that spirit into the conversation and it becomes the part of everything that's happening around me. When I sat back for that day and said to everything, you're gonna be quiet, you're gonna be still, we're not having that conversation. I'm not even role playing it in my mind in that way. Yeah, I want you to listen to what I'm saying. I'm not gonna let my, yeah, if he say this, then I'm gonna say that. And if he say this, shoo, boy, let him say that. All that stuff you doing, that's an invitation to it's an invitation to stress, and it's a rebuking or eviction or whatever word you want to use to the spirit of rest. Because you already going into the situation, hoping that God fix it, but going into it with a spirit that's not his. I want you to hear what I'm saying to you today. You can't go into it with that spirit and then say, God, now show up and make it right. And then shocked when he does, because you know you ain't bring that spirit with you. Come on. So I got quiet. I got still. I entered into that rest. This message is sitting on me. And I'm saying, okay, I'm going into a rest. And one after another, don't worry, you ain't got to pay that. No, we got you. We covered right here. Oh, yeah, we'll fix that right now, Mr. Brown. Don't you worry about that. And I got off the phone and was like, nothing ever happened. And I said, that's the life I want. That's the life I want. Somebody say, that's the life I want. So now I'm going to read the rest of this verse. See, I said, it's going to be the same scripture. But it's going to be a deeper dig into it. Therefore, while the promise of entering into his rest still holds and is offered today, let us be afraid to distrust it. I'm not afraid of my bills. I'm afraid to distrust entering into that rest. I'm not afraid of people's threats. I'm afraid of distrusting that rest that's offered to me. Come on, somebody, walk with me into this. Watch this. Let us be afraid to distrust it, lest any of you should think he has come too late and has come short of reaching it. Now he's saying, unless you become, if you distrust the rest, then the enemy will try to submit to you. Well, you know, God is doing this to you for a reason. Well, maybe it must be some sin in your life. Well, maybe it's some problem that you ain't got right yet. And all of those things start to come with distrust. Did you hear what I just said? All of those fears and thoughts about, well, maybe God don't want to bless me right now. Maybe it just ain't my time. All that comes with the distrust of entering into that rest. Why she said it? Lest any of you should think. Lest any of you should think. We could say, lest I think. Come on, let somebody say, lest I think, right? That he has come too late and has come short of reaching it. That's what he's saying. He's saying, so you get to the place when you don't want it to rest, that you start to lose faith. That you start to think that you fall short of reaching it. And according to your faith, be it unto you. But he said the reason that you get to the place of doubt or thinking that you fall short is because you lost trust in the rest. Watch the first verse that is still offered today. Not today when the Bible was written. Today, right now, in this very second, I'm looking at 1:52 p.m. our time. Okay? Listen, right now, I need you to stop me. I can read all of this, but I want to really drive this home. Right now, you can enter into that rest. He said it. It's still offered and it's still available today, right now. And if you don't enter into that rest, you enter into a place where you begin to think it's too late for you. You begin to think that God ain't moving on your behalf right now. You begin to think all these lies. Look, just in one verse. I said, God, if I'm afraid of anything now going forward, I'm going to be petrified of not trusting you. I'm going to be petrified of the feeling that I cannot enter into your rest. Take a minute right now. Take a moment. Do they have a moment of silence? Just take a moment right now and just deal with anything that's on your thoughts that has been trying to keep you from entering into his rest. Let's take, Father, we trust you today. We thank you, Lord God, that that rest is ours to have. We ask you to forgive us for constantly running around worrying and tribulating and fussing and fighting over dumb stuff, Lord God, that subtracts and detracts us from your rest. Today, we accept right now, this second, that that rest is available and is offered to us, and we wholeheartedly receive it. And we renounce every and any thought or thing that comes across and comes against that rest. Now I understand what you mean when you say, bind every thought and lead it away captive that seeks to exalt itself above the knowledge of you. Any thought that would try to get me out of rest and trust in you is a thought that seeks to exalt itself above the knowledge of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. And we take a stand today. We believe it's our rest to have, and we want to enter into it. And we thank you for the opportunity to enter into it. In the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Amen. So let's bring this verse home. Therefore, while the promise of entering to his rest still holds and is offered today, let us be afraid to distrust it, lest any of you should think that he has come too late and has come short of reaching it. For indeed, we have had glad tidings, the gospel of God proclaimed to us, as truly as the Israelites did when the good news of deliverance from bondage came to them. And I'm going to stop right there, but I'm going to define that. He said this promise to enter to his rest is no different than the promise he made to the Israelites back then. And it's the same exact power and the same exact God. So what's our concern then? He said, our concern is that you start to think that God ain't working anymore. That's what you should be afraid of. But here's what he said, and I said this last week, and I say it again. He said this promise that he's offering you today, whatever you just prayed about, he said it's the same exact promise that I made to Israel to deliver them out of bondage. Watch this. What's his track record look like? You read the stories of old. What's his track record look like? Is he got a track record? Does he like he a man of his word? You understand what I'm saying? What's his track record look like? All right. Well, he's saying, and I'm saying by the Spirit, that if his track record is that good, and he's saying that the deliverance that's offered to you today is the same deliverance that was offered to them then. See, the way it's written, you may not grab that, but he's saying, don't be afraid of distrusting what's still available to you. My rest, my deliverance, he said, just like I did then, that's still available today. Y'all didn't catch it. You didn't catch it. Let me help you out. God, just help me with my bills. Help me to pay my rent. Help me to get, you know, on top. Help me to get out of debt. And he's like saying, I'm offering you what I offered them. Some gold and stuff lavished on you. Red Sea parting, brought out of bondage into the promised land with wealth and success already on you. I'm offering you some life-shifting, changing rest, and you still looking for a nickel and dime type of blessing. I'm not trying to diss nobody. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. It's like I'm blessing you according to your faith, but I'm telling you the kind of rest I offered Israel out of Egypt, I'm still offering today. I'm saying slavery removing, burden removing, yoke destroying, blood on your door still, so that your firstborn are not harmed. Egypt lowering all of his gold and stuff, the wealth of the sinner laid up for the just. You need to grow up right now. And I'm trying to put that all on you and then send you forward to cross the Red Sea so I can drown all your armies in the, come on. I'm offering that still. It's still here, still exists. Same thing I did for them. Well, don't we love to say he the same yesterday, today, and forever? Well, I ain't seen no Red Sea parting on our behalf in quite some time. And I think that it's time for us to begin to take a stand to move in that direction. So, like I said, God's move don't change. His move is the same, is when we mature enough with the seed that's been planted in us so that we can meet him at that place. Jesus comes to the tree and he looks for fruit, and he doesn't find it. He says, "No man eat of you again." So the question is, he said it, I'm not making this up. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the earth? When he comes up on your tree, what does he find? A bunch of worry, a bunch of concerns, a bunch of fears, a bunch of problems. Oh, this one hurt my feelings. That wasn't right what they did. Like he said, when I come to you, son, what am I going to find? Am I going to find you believing for something? Because, oh, some people may not like what I'm about to say. Maybe not y'all, but somebody watching the video. When I come to you bearing fruit, what am I going to find to work with? When I show up with my power, my delivering, resting power, what are you going to meet me at the door with? Faith, trust, a belief, a vision, a goal, or your problems? Some people spend so much time praying about their problems. If God showed up with an answer, they don't even know what to do with it. Because all you know is your problems. Now, I'm just speaking the truth now. God said to me, when I show up, will I find faith in the earth? When I show up, will I find faith in you? When I show up to answer you, what are you coming with? A tin cup? Or a storehouse for me to fill? Because I'm going to fill what you show up with. Come on now. Well, I just need enough money to get me a new apartment. All right. So then when I show up, that's what you're going to get. Come on now. How many people you know that believe God will supply your need according to riches and glory, and in their mind, his need is to pay their rent every month and to pay their bills and all that? And every time they give a praise report, that's what they're talking about. I didn't know how I was going to pay my rent, but then God showed up and somebody gave me exactly what I need to the penny. Hallelujah. That's so pathetic. He said, but that's what you wanted, that's what you had when I showed up. You had your tin cup out. I filled your cup. You had enough to pay your rent, and you had another $50, $7,500 to go get yourself something to eat at Sizzler or whatever. That's what you was believing for. I want to make sure when I show up with a fleet of trucks and a warehouse to put it in. That's my spirit. Again, I ain't talking about stuff. I'm talking about period. I want to show up saying, God, what do I need to bring? What you trying to bring me? And he said, all right. So I am going to wrap this message right here. I want to tell you guys, I'm encouraged by what I shared. I believe that I brought encouragement to this message, and I believe that you are leaving here encouraged. And I believe your expectation of entering into his rest, it's going to have more effect now than it did when I first did the message, because I brought a different level of it by the Spirit of God. I'm expecting now to live longer. And what I mean by live longer, now I'm not talking about in the amount of years, but in purpose and fulfillment in wonder and expectation and greatness in the things that God has called me to. I believe I'm gonna live more life now than I have in many lives put together, because the quality of life for me is different. I expect God to show up as God and not him try to get up to show up to meet me where I am. I want to make sure when I get to where he's called me, I show up where he is. And that is a game changer. But you can't do that without entering into his rest. You can't come up with your anxiety. He's not there for that. There's a statement, I thought I was done, but there's a statement that I have in one of my statements that's going in the book. For those who need encouragement, God will show up with encouragement. But for those who seek direction, God shows up with direction. What you coming here for? I don't want to just be encouraged. Encourage me with my direction. Tell me where I need to go, and I'll find my encouragement in that. No, God, I need God to encourage me. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Blessings and blessings. I love you guys.